You look good this morning. Trying to help some of you single people out. I woke up this morning and my wife came up to me. She said, "How does it feel to be the most handsome man in all the world?" That's what she said. I said, "Well, you know, it has its pressures." You know, I mention a lot about that, about having fun with that type of talk. But you know, it's the absolute truth. Most people suffer from a terrible self-image. That's the truth. And it's been my perception as a pastor, as well as just seeing it in my own life, that you cannot change someone's life until you change the way they see themselves. If they see themselves a certain way, you can give them all the tools in the world to come out of it. But if they see themselves that way, their life will always arise to their own personal level of expectation. And so I want to encourage you, see yourself in a positive way. See the way God made you to be. You know, you may say, "Well, I'm dealing with this and I've got this issue and I want to change this about myself." Well, that may be true, but you're not just dealing with you. You're the righteousness of God in Christ. See yourself the way He sees you. See yourself as that overcomer, whatever you're dealing with. And in fact, that ties in very nicely to what we're talking about today. So if you will, this morning, open up your Bibles to the book of Genesis, chapter 37. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like a Bible, you can lift up your hands. And our happy ushers there in the aisles now, they'll be more than glad to give you a Bible. If you don't have a Bible at all, that Bible is now yours to keep. You can make it your very own copy and take it with you when you leave here. If you do have a Bible and for whatever reason weren't able to bring it, then you can just hand the Bible back to the usher at the end of the service. Genesis chapter 37. If on the screens, you can go to Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 18. We're going on the floor in our Bibles to Genesis chapter 37. You all know the story, I'm sure, here in Genesis 37. It's about Joseph. And Joseph had been given a dream by God. Now, his brothers already didn't like Joseph. They perceived that the father was playing favorites with him by his coat of many colors. And so they didn't like him to begin with. And then he comes up and tells them this dream he has, this vision that he has. And that caused them to like him that much less. They just didn't like the fella. And so one day he's out walking to them, and they describe him in a certain way. And I want you to see how they describe him. And I want to ask if this is the way you would describe yourself. Watch this in Genesis chapter 37 and verse 19. "And they said one to another, 'Behold, this dreamer cometh.'" They classified Joseph as a dreamer. He had a dream. Now, what's very interesting is if you trace out Joseph's life from this moment forward, you see plenty of things come up in his life to try to rob that dream away from him. From the way people mistreated him, his own brothers, I mean, they harassed him, threw him into a pit, sold him into slavery, but he held on to his dream. You see him in Potiphar's house. There he arises to be over the whole household. God's blessing him. He's still got this dream. Then you see Potiphar's wife just go crazy, and she lies on Joseph, and she tells fibs about him, and it gets Joseph thrown in jail. But he still got his dream. And here he is in jail, and the blessing of the Lord comes on him there. He's promoted to the chief jailer. Here's a prisoner running the prison. And there are people who are in this prison who he helps and he ministers to. And he tells them, "When you get out of here, don't forget about me." But you know what happens? They forget about him. But he still has his dream. And eventually, you see everything Joseph saw, every part of that dream, that vision that he had, came to pass in his life. See, before God wants to do anything in your life, he sows a dream, a vision into your heart. If you want to go to the next level, how many of you do? I know I do. If you want to go to the next level, you must first see the next level. If you don't see the next level, if there's no seed of that in your heart, then God can't ever produce a harvest of that in your life. You've got to see it. I read a thing years ago, and the percentage is up now, so I don't know the exact percentage, so I'll undershoot it. I think it's 6 times, but I'll be safe and say 4 times. People who are born in another country and then immigrate over into our country are 4 times more likely to become a millionaire than people who were born here. That's interesting, is it? Why do you think that is? How do those people see our country? They see it as the land of opportunity. They see it as a land that's ripe for success. They see themselves being able to do things. Well, isn't it very interesting, though, that those same people don't become millionaires in their country? Why? Because of the condition that they're in, the environment that they're in, they can't see success happening there, so they move to a place where they can see it happening. And based off of that vision comes increase. What do you see in your life? What do you see? This is so important because there's a scripture here in Proverbs that says, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But notice this first phrase, where there is no vision, the people perish. Think about that. See, I found as being a pastor that people's lives are not being affected because they have a negative vision. Now, don't get me wrong. There are some people out there, they're just very negative. Always the pessimists, they see the glass half empty. And they see things going bad before they ever go bad. They see that relationship failing before it ever fails. And so there are just some people who are negative people. But that's not most people. Most people have no vision. Here's what I mean by that. They see everything they see with their natural eyes. They just exist. They live from one moment to the next. What we've got to do at 9 o'clock, then 11 o'clock, then 12 o'clock, then 3 o'clock. And they live a life very much in a routine. Now, what's the dangers of that? Well, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And so I say this every time I teach on vision, but it's the absolute truth. If that is true, and it's got to be true, it's scripture, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If that is true, what do the majority of people think about? They think about today. What do I have to do today? What's going on today? The job I have to do today? The people I have to please today? The kids I have to take care of today? And they're so busy that all they think about is today. Now, why is that an issue? Because if that scripture is true, which all scripture is, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, that if all I think about today is today, then what is tomorrow destined to look like? It's going to look just like today. And the next day is going to look just like today. See, the reason why people don't see more increase in their life is because they don't see more increase. Vision is seeing what could be. And we'll talk about that a little bit more. But for your life and mine, we've got to put ourselves over into a position of becoming a dreamer, of getting a vision in our heart, a dream in our heart. I built this facility the way we built it on purpose. I built it too small. And the reason why I built it too small was because years ago, I was listening to a CD series by a pastor named Willie George. It was a church conference that he was putting on. And he pastors a church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, that I think at the time I listened to the CD, he was running about 3,000 people. Now he's up to 12,000 people. And on the CD, he was talking about how he ran his church. And in particular, why he named his church the name that he named it. He named his church, Church on the Move. Church on the Move. And he said the reason why I named it that way was because I always wanted the church to be moving towards something. To always have a vision as to what could happen next. I never wanted them to think that what they're experiencing now is as good as it gets. And he used this scripture, where there is no vision, the people perish, to illustrate that point. He said, as soon as people think that this is as good as it gets, it doesn't stay that way. Listen to me, friends. Nothing in life stays the same. It either decreases or increases, but nothing in life stays the same. Well, you say, well, I make the same amount of money I'm making this year as I did last year. No, you don't. There's a little thing called inflation. And inflation makes your money not worth what it was. Nothing on earth stays the same. It either increases or decreases. And when people perceive that this is as good as it gets, it doesn't stay that way. It's going to start decreasing. And he was saying most churches, when they build too big. And they try to build so big. And people get in there and they're running one service and it's not that full. And people get, here's the key word, comfortable. They get comfortable. And they think this is as good as it gets. And he said, when that happens, you didn't build a sanctuary. You built a graveyard. Because your church will never grow any bigger than that. And friends, I'm telling you, it's the absolute truth. I like to study out churches, see what other churches are doing. In fact, in our industry, I'm sure it's that way in your industry too, you can see what are the fastest growing churches in America. What are the largest churches in America? And I'm sure you can do the same thing if you work in real estate. You know who the top earners are and those types of things. Well, I believe success leaves clues. And so what I try to do, and Ryan Lamberson, my brother-in-law who works here, we contact a lot of these churches to see what they're doing. And it's funny, you can see some churches that are growing and growing and growing. And then on the next year, they're not as big as they were, or they're decreased significantly. And you contact the people and you start talking to them and you can see very quickly why. They got the same preacher. They got the same praise and worship. They got the same outreaches as they had the year before. The problem was people saw this is as good as it gets. No one knew what was happening next. In fact, I've sat in churches where people have asked me to come in to help them and to help give them some of our systems of organization for visitor follow-up and things like that. And we'll come and give them all their strategies. And they got talented people. I mean, they've got everything you need to grow a church. And you sit in there and you see it's not growing and you wonder why. It's because they see this is as good as it gets. See, in church, that's true. That's why when we built this, I purposely built it too small where we could come in running three services that would be full. And what blessed me most on day one of when we opened up the church was so many people were asking, when are we building phase two? We've got to knock out some walls. That's the exact mindset that I wanted to have. Was we see what's next. We see vision. Why? I never want us to start perishing. And the only way to not perish is for us as a congregation to see the vision, to see what's next. Well, if we carry that over into our own lives, the same principles are true. So many times it's so easy for us to just get comfortable. To just live the life that we're living. I call it having heads down time. And heads down time is where you're just working, you're enjoying the life that you have. And that's good. We need heads down time to savor what we have and to show gratitude to the Lord for it. And also work on those things that need working on. But you can't stop there. In everybody's life, in yours and in mine, we can't only have heads down time. We also must have heads up time. And heads up time is where you're seeing the future. You're seeing what's next. You're visualizing with the eyes of faith what could be in your life, what the next level is. It's very interesting. I'm preaching this message as much to myself as anyone else. About a week and a half ago, I was praying. And I tell you what, I've just enjoyed life so much over the last couple of weeks. You see, what we're experiencing today in this church and this facility is 10 years worth of practicing what I'm preaching. I can remember when this was nothing but a parking lot with a pad. And I can remember getting my hair cut and someone asking me, what do you do for a living? And I tell them I'm pastor of Word of Life Church. And they said, is that the church over there that built that parking lot and nothing else? And I mean, every time I tell people what was going on and where I was, everybody would ask, when are you going to build and all of those things? And so I can remember me and my brother-in-law, Ryan, he was living with me at the time I was pastoring. When I first started pastoring, I was single. And we would come out here on this land and on this property, really about where we're sitting right now. We'd come out here and set up lawn chairs and just think about how we organize things and where would we put things and what are we doing? We're seeing the next level. We did that for years. We might talk about that next Sunday. We did that for years. Joseph. For years, kept and held on to that vision. We as a staff put together something called a vision book. And on that vision book, it was images that we cut out of magazines of other churches. We saw three services before we ever went to it. We saw two services before we ever went to it. We saw it. We cut out those pictures. We cut out those times. We'd look through those pictures and see a better future, see a better life. And so here we are, and we're not just seeing it with eyes of faith, we're seeing it with our natural eyes. And there is a satisfaction that comes out of that. In fact, in Proverbs it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And what it's talking about is as long as you keep putting off believing for more, and as long as you are so in a place that's robbing you of vision, it makes your heart sick. Something's wrong. But then it goes on to say that a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And it's the absolute truth. And so here we are with this thing we've been believing for years, and it's here. It's a desire fulfilled, and oh, it's sweet. It is a tree of life. And so it's really easy to get comfortable again. To just kind of settle in. Life is good. And so I was praying about a week and a half ago. I was just worshiping the Lord and fellowshipping with Him and you know, just giving thanks for all the things that were in my life. And He started dealing with my heart, just on the inside, started dealing with me. that I needed to see the next level. And yes, enjoy what I'm on, but I need to see the next level. For me personally, for the church, I need to see the next level. And he took me to a scripture. It's here in Genesis. Let's just turn over there and look at it. Go back a couple of pages to Genesis chapter 13. And it's actually one of my favorite passages of scripture, especially concerning vision. In Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1, you see Abraham walking in the blessing of the Lord. It's wonderful. I mean, everything in his life is prospering and increasing. And it would have been real easy for him to just settle in there and get comfortable and relax a little bit. And so God's coming alongside of him here to not just reward him, but to snap him out of it. And he comes here in Genesis 13 and verse 14. It said, "And the Lord said unto Abram," after that, Genesis 13 and verse 14, "And the Lord said unto Abram," after that Lot was separated from him, there's some key words here, "lift up now." Everyone say now. What does now mean? Have you ever told your children, "Do it now"? What does that mean? It means don't wait to do this. I want this done now. And so God comes to Abram and he says, "I want you to do something right now. Lift up now thine eyes." Watch this next phrase. "And look from the place where you are." Notice he's telling him, you're in a place. And the place where Abram was at was a good place. God was blessing him. And God said, "I want you to do something, and I want you to do it now. Lift up your eyes from the place where you are." What's he saying? Stop seeing life as it currently is. Don't just see what you have. Look up your eyes and look at the other lands, the new territories, the places that you haven't conquered, the places where you haven't gone. Look up from the place where you are and look. And watch where he tells them to look. "And look thou northward and southward and eastward and westward for all the land which thou," what? "Seest. To thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever." Notice he gives the implication to Abram that if he can't see it from the place where he's standing, God can't give it. But he says, "Abram, if you'll do something now, if you'll look up now from the place where you are, and if you will look unto territories and into places from the north, south, east, and west where you've never gone, if you'll look towards those places, I'll give you everything that you see." For us, and for many of you, for myself, we're in a place where God is saying, "You may be going through things right now that are great, but that's not as good as it gets. Look up now from the place where you are and start seeing new territories. Start seeing fresh places of increase. Look up from the place where you are." Or maybe you're in a place now that's not that good, where it looks like everything around you's robbing you of a quality of life that maybe you used to have enjoyed. Friends, I heard a preacher say, "If your memories are bigger than your dreams, you're in trouble." And it's the absolute truth. Maybe you're in a place now where it's not as good as it used to be. Don't just let your mind go back to the way it was and fall into the children of Israel mentality of, "I wish we could go back to the way it was." No, God wants to take you into a promised land where it's better than it's ever been. But he says you have to see it. There's got to be that seed of vision on the inside. See, vision is the sight or eyes of faith. And faith has nothing to work with or work on unless vision sees it. Go over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1. We'll see this principle there. Hebrews chapter 11 is the great faith chapter. And we see in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it starts us off telling us what faith does. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1 tells you what faith does. And so we see here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 1, it's going to tell us what faith does. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Oh, that's wonderful. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So here he's talking about two types of sight. There is an inward sight, which is hope. What is hope? The word hope there in the Greek means a confident expectation. Hope is seeing life as it could be, not just as it is. It's seeing life with an excitement and anticipation about what God is going to do. That's what hope is. And it says faith does something with that hope. Faith begins to create substance to the things that are hoped for. Faith creates the materiality to that hope. In essence, it turns what you can't see with your natural eyes, but yet you see it vividly with the eyes of vision and faith. It creates substance to it. For instance, faith created substance to the vision of this facility. 9 years ago, there was nothing more than two guys out here with lawn chairs, picturing walls. Well, what is that? That's hope. That's a confident expectation of what God is going to do. Faith takes that and builds the walls, puts up the lights, carpets the floors. Faith believes that hope in. But faith has got to have sight to it. It's got to have that hope to it. And so I'm here and the Lord's telling me all of this. What he's getting over to me in Genesis 13 there. Lifting up your eyes from the place where you are and seeing the next level, new territories. And so I start saying, I'm going to the next level. And I come up and grab my wife and I say, we're going to the next level. And she looks at me and she says, great. What does it look like? And I paused. I said, What does the next level look like? See, I've got some long-term goals, but specifically the Lord was dealing with me about the next level. What does the next level look like? She asked me that question. And immediately when she asked it to me, the Lord said, you need to get that in your heart. You need to see what the next level is for you. You need to see it. You've got to get that dream back in your heart. You've got to see the next level. You can't go to the next level unless you see the next level first. See, everything in this world has two creations. You never do something without thinking about it first. It's just the way it is. Even if it's a subconscious thought, it always passes through the mind before it passes through your hands. Where the mind of man goes, the life of man follows. It's the old saying. It has two creations. And so before you can ever see increase with your natural eyes, you're going to have to start seeing it with the eyes of faith. Well, where do you start? Start picturing life, and even if you have to write it down, that'd be good. Start picturing life not as it is. See, your natural eyes see things as they are. Sees things as they are. But faith, with vision, sees things as they could be. See, years ago, back in our old sanctuary, when we were just wanting one service and attendance was dropping, We came in as a staff and we said, okay, we're not going to look at all these different reports. Let's sit in the sanctuary and let's see it full. See the sanctuary full. Well, what is it? That's vision. It's seeing things as they could be, not as they are. There may be some things in your life that are a particular way now. Sight tells you that. Well, the Bible teaches us that we are to walk by faith and not by sight. So what does that mean? You don't see things the way they are. You see things the way they could be. You don't see that marriage the way it is. You see it as it could be. You don't see your body the way it is. You see it walking strong and full of health. You see it as it could be. In fact, Dodie Osteen, who she has a book out there, Healed of Cancer, when she was diagnosed with cancer, on the outside, her natural appearance started drying up. She could see it within herself. When she looked in the mirror, she saw herself drying up and that cancer wreaking havoc on her body. And she knew if she was going to turn it around, one of the things she had to do was she couldn't see herself as a cancer victim. She couldn't see herself as someone who is drying up and whose best days were behind her. So you know what she did? She went through all of her photo albums and found the times in the photo albums of years gone by of when she was in perfect health and full of vitality and energy. And she posted those pictures up all over her house. When she looked in the mirror, she covered up the mirror with the image of the way she could be, full of health and vitality. She didn't want to see herself as some sick, frail woman. When she went to the fridge, she had an image there of a picture of her enjoying life and full of health. She surrounded herself with an image of what could be. Well, what is that? That's vision. That's faith. That's seeing what could be. So in your life, as well as mine, we have to do the same thing. Don't sit back and just look at life the way it is. Take a step back and say, what could it look like? Okay, this is the way it is professionally. This is how many sales I'm making on average per month. But what could I make? You can even one-up it and say, if God helps me, what could I do? You know, you hear motivational speakers say this a lot. What would you attempt to do if you knew you couldn't fail? What would you go after? What would you pursue? Well, what is that? That's another way of saying, picture life as it could be. Friends, there is increased waiting on every side. I'll tell you this story and then close. I told it to first service. There is a man named Howard Schultz, and he owns Starbucks. He owns it, and he's the CEO. And so they've had their issues, but now they've turned the company around, and it's stronger than ever, profit margin-wise. They have over 16,000 Starbucks stores. 16,000. Last year, they took in $10.7 billion in revenue. That's a lot of lattes. His personal bonus, this is not a salary, his personal bonus last year was $22 million. That's not a bad year. That's not a bad lifetime. $22 million as a year-end bonus. You know how it all started? Get this. This is how it all started. Years ago, he didn't own Starbucks. He worked for Starbucks. And at the time, it only had three stores. And they didn't sell lattes and cappuccinos. All they sold was whole bean coffee. They didn't even sell coffee by the cup. It'd be like working four cups here, the local coffee shop in town. Working four cups and only had three stores. And they didn't even sell coffee. They just sold coffee by the pound. And he's a mid-level employee there. He's not the CEO or the CFO. He's just an employee. And he saves up his money. He goes over to Italy for a vacation. And while he's there resting, having fun, he sees streets lined up with coffee carts. But they weren't just selling coffee. he noticed there were machines on these carts that were selling specialty coffees, things like espresso and lattes and cappuccinos. And he sees that there are lines behind all of these things. He goes back the next day and drinks coffee. And he's sitting there seeing all of these people line up. Now, he's not the only American tourist, by the way. Plenty of other American tourists walking down those streets. And they all see the coffee carts. But he takes it a step further. And with vision, he sees that if people will stand in line for this coffee and pay, you know, I don't think it was $3 or now $4 for a latte or cappuccino. It's probably less then. But pay a significant amount of money for one cup of coffee. He knew coffee. He knew the profit margins would be through the roof. Because once you pay for the bean, your biggest expense is the milk. He saw immediately, this could make money. What's he doing? He's seeing things as they could be. And so he comes back to the States. I mean, he's pumped up. And I'm sure you've had this happen to you before. He's pumped up. He gets an appointment with his boss. He's going to tell him how Starbucks can raise their revenue and profit margins. So he tells the owner of Starbucks the vision. He shoots him down. He says people won't buy coffee like that here in America. So you know what he does? He says, well, I'll start my own company. So he goes out and tries to raise money to start his own company. And he tells his story and what he saw over there in Italy and how he sees it working here in America to other investors. And most of them don't see it either. So for years, he raises money until he's able to open up his own coffee store. Guess what happened? It was a hit. People loved it. Then guess what happened? Starbucks came up for sale because they couldn't compete with it anymore. So guess who bought Starbucks? He did. And then he grew it and grew it and grew it from 50 stores to 500, from 500 to thousands and thousands. Why him, though? This is what I'm getting at. Why him? He wasn't someone with an extraordinary education. He was working at a coffee shop, mid-level employee. He wasn't something who had all the breaks or came from a lot of money. Why him? He saw what could be, and he held on to it until it was. If the mind of man can see it, the hand of man can't achieve it. But first, we've got to do the same thing Abraham did. Look up from the place where we are and start seeing those new territories. Start seeing that next level. Start seeing what life could be and not just what it is. And then the same thing God told Abraham, he'll tell us. If you'll look up your eyes and see it, I will give it to you. Dream. Be like Joseph. Even if you walk into work, people may snicker and say, there goes that dreamer. But friend, I'm telling you, if that dream gets in your heart and you let those roots grow down, eventually that vision will spring out and it will surely come to pass. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Let me pray for you before we go. Father, I thank you for everyone here in attendance. We thank you, Lord, for the dream. We lift up our eyes from